gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back to Navy by Nature. It has been a while. I've got Julian Burton on the other end. Julian, how you
Hello,
doing, bud?
Everybody. Hello.
I think I can speak for both of us when I say that we are excited for another kind of season of Navy by Nature. We got a new show, The Bachelorette, and we got some great Euro coverage to take care of, and that's going to be our focus for the next month here. So everybody, strap in tight. We're going to kick it off.
Click it or ticket.
Cops have been trained to spot those who were trying to avoid a ticket. But you don't have to do that. We don't have to worry about that because everybody's buckled in and we're ready to go right after a word from our sponsors.
You know, Julian, I get hundreds of emails every week from listeners that are telling me that they just can't fall asleep the night before a new podcast because they're too excited with anticipation.
Gray, I'm glad you brought that up. Pre-podcast insomnia is a serious medical condition and often goes unmentioned at regular checkups. And let's face it, there's nothing worse than not getting a good night's sleep and having to slug through the next day at work.
I'm sure there are prescriptions and over-the-counter medicinal sleep aids out there, but they can take weeks to begin working and often contain very addictive substances.
Yeah, and that old wives' tale that reading before bed helps you sleep was disproved by scientists years ago. It's been shown that daily exercise can actually make it harder to fall asleep by increasing the levels of adrenaline and other hormones in the body.
Folks, the good news is that there's a simple, all-natural solution to pre-podcast insomnia, and it's right in front of your nose. Or lips, should I say.
That's right. We're talking about Sleepy Time Tea. For years, Sleepy Time Tea has been helping the world unwind with the beloved blend of chamomile, spearmint, West Indian lemongrass, tilia flowers, blackberry leaves, orange blossoms, hawthorn, and rosebuds. Gray, I'm getting dozy just thinking about it.
Me too, big guy. So folks, next time you're having difficulty heading off to dreamland, remember our good friend the Sleepy Time Bear, and let him help you hit the hibernate button on a long day. And don't forget to try all the specialty lines of Sleepy Time Tea, including Sleepy Time Extra Wellness Tea, Sleepy Time Decaf Lemon Jasmine Green Tea, Sleepy Time Sinus Soother Tea, Sleepy Time Throat Tamer Tea, and of course Julian's favorite, Sleepy Time Vanilla Herbal Tea.
Oh, I do love that vanilla herbal tea.
I know you do.
I tell you what, I just can't get enough.
Sleepy Time Tea, helping the world unwind since 1969.
You know, I've been doing the Decaf Lemon Jasmine Green Tea.
All right, we're back. We are back. Special thanks to the Sleepy Time Tea organization, Celestial Seasonings.
Yes,
parent organization for reaching out to us and really giving us a wonderful opportunity. Just great people at that organization. Wonderful people to work with, and it's them along with your donations that's making this podcast possible. So we just, you know, we can't thank everyone enough, and I'm tickled excited about this new segment of podcasting. Mm-hmm. Julian, what should we do? Should we do the Bachelorette first?
Yeah, I think we should start with Bachelorette, and we've got quite a lot of ground to cover here. It's what I've been for
that we weeks? Do. Five, this was the fifth episode yesterday.
Yeah.
So, I'll say though, I don't feel bad for missing these episodes.
No,
these podcasts, because they've been quite uneventful.
Yeah, I think the problem is that there's just a lot of the people, including Emily, are fairly normal. There's not a lot of characters. I mean, there's some, but not to the level that we've seen. In the past.
No. In fact, I was thinking about this the other day. I mean, I think every single season I say, oh, that person or those two people are definitely actors that they've paid to be in the show. I didn't say that this season.
Right.
I did not say that. I feel like it's like a real genuine, like they were like, all right, hang on a second. Let's really try to find Emily a husband because we kind of feel bad for her. And just kind of in the ringer, and like everybody likes her a lot, so let's not try to screw her over and put some crazy people.
What's really ironic about that strategy is last season they paid Courtney to be on the show, and then he ended up choosing her.
Yeah, they're in love, man. Hey, come on,
I'm just joking.
Don't downplay that. They're in love.
Oh, I'm going to downplay it.
We will.
I'm going to.
There's
downplay
that. There's one motto of Navy by Nature. Okay, there's not one. There's many. But one of them is. Here at Navy by Nature, we take a lot of things seriously, and love is at the top of that list.
Okay. Yeah, right above Sleepy Time Tea.
Right above Celestial Seasoning, Sleepy Time Tea, in all its varieties, and right below alternate uniform combinations and helmet colors. So, there's a list. Those aren't all the things on the list.
So love falls below alternate jerseys and helmet combinations.
Correct. I mean, I think it's fair enough to say.
Yeah, that's kind of the basis of our... We've kind of gone a lot of different directions, but that was our initial focus.
Yeah.
Was alternate jerseys. Very, very specific.
Let's bring it back. Any highlights to you from the first four episodes before we cover this past episode? Any highlights?
Well, I think we have to bring up the facts. I think all North Carolinians are happy that they kind of repped Charlotte pretty hard the first three episodes, which was great to see.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm a Raleigh guy, and there's a slight, you know, a friendly rivalry between Charlotte and Raleigh.
But I think all of us were
happy that our state got a little recognition.
And Charlotte. Charlotte's a wonderful town. Yeah. It's a wonderful town, and it's great. Yeah, I think it's wonderful. I don't know where they found that particular mansion in Charlotte.
that happened to look a whole lot like the one in Los Angeles.
Just like the one in L.A. I don't know if some just really kind family was willing to kind of give away their house for a few weeks.
I feel like the front of the house is just like a set. Like those bushes and those lights.
We can't know.
Well, no, it does look exactly the same, though, so that seems like a logical conclusion.
It does. Maybe they have the same interior designer do the house every year.
Well, it's probably the same house
in L.A., right. Maybe they moved the house. Do you think they just moved the house?
No.
You don't think they moved the house?
That. I mean, that would be a lot.
I'm going to hold out a little bit of hope that they just moved the house from L.A. There's like I'm going to say a 5% chance of me that believes that they moved the house from L.A. First four episodes, I mean... This is like crazy thing, like very first date with Ryan, who I extremely dislike. Yeah. Ryan, where she just makes him like cut sandwiches or like prepare oranges and fruit drinks. I was just like, man, this Bachelorette season is off with a bang. it's just kind of like, woo.
Yeah,
that's the kind of Bachelorette we got on our hands here. We got a single mom, man. We don't have, like, a girl. I mean, Emily's not looking to go to all these exotic locations and fly around in a helicopter. I'm sure that she will enjoy that, embrace that, but she understands that there's something greater, much greater, much more substantial and everlasting at the end of this process. I think so.
I did think it was a little bit of a strange first date still, though. Obviously this is in the context of The Bachelorette, but it was strange. Like in real life, it's never the first thing you would do. You would try and have some kind of a get to know you romantic-ish type thing on a first date. Not, this is what my real life is. This is what we're going to be like when we're married on your first date. You know what I mean? It's kind of jumping ahead a little bit.
Yeah, it would scare a lot of guys away, I think.
It was a strange, I mean, I understand why they did it. They kind of want to set that tone. Like, this is who Emily is.
Sure.
Let's remind you that she has a daughter.
And
this is
what you're getting into. Yeah. And this is the biggest theme of
like
the season so far.
It's like Ken 11. It was a weed out date.
Get rid of all the people. Bio 11. Bio 11. It's just, I mean, like, that's the biggest theme, like, reoccurring theme of this season is that, like, they want to make sure that the guys know what they're getting into.
Yep.
When they're agreeing to potentially marry this woman. And Emily wants to reinforce that to them. And she has doubts and concerns about that. I mean, that is this season.
Yep.
I mean, that's what it's about. That's what it has become. And, you know, we see kind of an apex of that conflict this episode with Kalen.
Yeah, you want to go ahead and jump to that? I was just going to say quickly that this season, it feels more so than the other ones that Emily really is looking for a husband. Whether she ends up going that route or not. The other seasons, you're like, they're not really getting married. Or they could, but who knows. But she's really kind of playing
Right.
It's really about marriage kind of thing. Because she does have a daughter. Yeah. And you can't, as much as we'll kind of poke fun at some of the elements because she has a daughter, like, at the same time, she really, that's real. She really does have a daughter.
Yeah, in real life, she has a daughter. Right.
So, I mean, you understand that she's going to take a little seriously.
And in the other bachelorettes and bachelor's seasons, they can be like, even if these people break up, it's not on us. It's not our fault. But, right. like, they're like, we probably shouldn't mess this one up. We right. should probably try to get it right. One of the things that I thought stood out was her having her friends talk to the guys.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was great.
I thought it was good. It was a little early still. But, I mean, that's just everything's accelerated. So I'm going to stop making that point.
Yeah, everything's accelerated. And I got a question. Do you really think the Hispanic woman is one of her friends? I really don't want to get into... I don't want to be playfully racist here when we're talking about this, but when she was like, well, this is a group of my closest girlfriends that I have, and I just really want to, I just value their opinion, and they like flash like white woman,
Indian woman,
Hispanic, Indian woman, and a white woman. I was just like, it's probably her nanny. It's probably her nanny.
I mean,
I don't.
Maybe that's racist. If she is Indian and not, I'm about to get real racist.
And Native American.
No, I'm saying Indian, like from India. That's what I think she is.
Oh, okay. All right. I got you.
I was gonna say if she is Indian from India, she maybe wants Ricky to hang out with some smarter kids.
Yeah, I mean that's true.
Right?
It's true. I mean, it's possible that they go to a nice private school and that one of Ricky's friends is a smart Indian girl.
Or just Indian girl, therefore smart.
No, I mean, she probably goes to a school where the kids are very smart because it's private. And
okay.
I don't know. I mean, we can only speculate. But, it's the fact that she was of a different ethnicity. And she didn't have, she was very quiet in front of camera. I just was like, I don't really.
You don't think it's her
friend. I'm skeptical here. I feel bad.
I don't know.
I feel like they're
with
trying to throw.
With moms and their play dates.
I feel like they're
stuff?
Trying to throw a little color. I feel like they're trying to throw a little color, no pun intended, into the episode because they felt bad that all of her friends were white.
Well, they might also start feeling bad that they've never had anyone of any other race in the show. At all.
You know what? I think that they did do one
black person?
Black bachelor.
No. Did they?
Or I feel like they... I don't know. We don't know.
That's a bold statement. I don't remember them doing that. I feel like that would be talked about a little bit more.
There was a pretty suave, I think we can say, black bachelor contestant this year. Who was dismissed earlier in the rounds, but,
there was a black guy?
It was one of the contestants for Emily,
Wait, for Emily? This season?
Yeah, for this season. This season.
I don't remember.
She kind of dismissed him in the second or third episode without cause, which I felt was like a... that had to have been a violation of some kind of law. Like, the Bachelorette is...
He's going to sue the Bachelorette for getting kicked off without cause.
Yeah, it has to be an equal opportunity employer here. And she, So, anyway.
It should be like the NFL where she has to keep so many black guys around. Or, like, they have to interview so many black coaches.
Mm-hmm.
She has to keep so many black guys around.
And that, yeah. Well, that's probably what it was. She had to at least have that many contestants. Hang on, I'm gonna read the bio.
I'm gonna read the bio
of my man here. Of the black guy, yeah. This is getting racist. Laurent.
Joking
Laurent.
A lot with the
Laurent.
Things I'm saying, right?
Laurent. Occupation real estate consultant in Laguna Beach, California, eliminated
racist.
In the first rose ceremony.
Why
no, that's
your
that's
accent?
Why he's age 29. Occupation. I didn't.
You read it.
I just
a
got like.
Way.
His occupation is a real estate consultant. Hometown
yeah,
Laguna Beach, California.
Really
status
occupation.
Eliminated in the first rose. Hey, Lerone, What is your most embarrassing moment? Losing my trunks in the ocean and trying to run up the beach naked. I don't know why he would be embarrassed to be naked in front of
a bunch
of people.
Why didn't he just stay in the water? Get someone to help him out.
All I'm saying is it's not like he's, it's not like he has anything to be embarrassed about.
How do you know that? How do you know that?
Question number two, do you prefer a woman who wants to be pursued or a woman who pursues and why? He says, I can appreciate a woman who is classy and might want to be pursued. However, when the chemistry is there, it's obvious. It's a pretty diplomatic answer. If you wanted to impress a woman, what would you do and why? I would cook her dinner, make her laugh, and be myself. Oh, that's very confident. What is your most marked characteristic? I'm comfortable in my own skin.
Okay, hey, Dove commercial.
Exactly.
Paid by Dove.
This guy's just very confident.
We're spending a lot of time talking about a guy that I didn't even remember was on the show.
Let's keep tattoo count at zero. No comments. No comments.
That's good. Emily wouldn't have liked it, I don't think.
No comments. I don't really remember anything else.
Let's go ahead and just move forward. I mean,
who got the Doug? Doug got the first rose, right? First impression rose. Like he's he's got a kid that like wrote a letter or whatever, and I mean he's working that angle hard. He's been working that angle hard.
Oh yeah, and he's super mature too. He's working that angle because he's a little bit older. That's getting kind of
I like that kind of feud in the house that he's like, yeah, you 25-year-old guys don't know anything about life. Don't know anything. And she's like, I'm 26. And
right.
I'm attracted to guys that are similar age to me. So
Doug
anyways,
is kind of a...
How old is Doug? Is he like
33.
40?
33.
40?
33.
Gotcha. 43. Gotcha.
Yeah.
43. And
33.
I'm joking.
Oh.
I'm joking with you.
It's like, how are you not hearing me?
Hello? Hello? Yeah,
I like that. I mean, he's got kind of a short fuse. Those guys were messing with him, and it was really funny.
Really funny. When Ari said the thing he did, it made me.
Dude, it seems like they're kind of getting stressed out.
did you expect her to be okay with Ari being a professional of the racing nature?
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't.
I thought she was not going to say it
was okay.
I thought it was going to be kind of like a Bentley
okay,
situation.
But that it would be too painful.
I thought the opposite. I thought she'd play up the oh, this is so hard for me, but she really liked him. You know?
Kind of like a Bentley
thing. Like, I don't know if I should date him, but I really like him kind of thing.
Yeah, like, you want what you know you're not supposed to have.
Right.
Kind of thing that girls do.
But yeah, it didn't seem to be an issue at all.
It didn't. It doesn't. It continues not to be.
Yeah, they haven't talked about it, really. Apart from
so, so let's jump into this episode. Kalen goes home because he violates the first clause of this season's Bachelorette, which is... that you have to take being a father seriously at all times.
Yeah.
And we've seen other guys refer to the situation of her being a father or stepping into being a father as a negative.
Like Alessandro.
Alessandro.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like, I don't even think that there's a language like issue here. I'm just being honest with you. I don't want... That is a sacrifice that I'd have to make.
And then they showed those outtakes where he was talking to her friends, and they were like,
yeah,
they were like,
and
he was just like, yes.
He was like, yep.
And then he talked about dating his cousin or something.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Where did they? That was weird. So, you know, we've talked about in the past, like, and it happened in this episode, there's two ways to guarantee yourself that you're going to get into the second episode. Number one is to start beef with somebody, all right?
Yeah,
and so
because Chris will keep you around. You'll be a Chris pick.
Exactly. No, the editor's picks. Yeah. We had two editor's picks. Number one, guy with the egg. What's it, Travis? who's still in it.
That was Travis with the egg? I didn't even remember that.
Travis was with the egg. Number two was the Jersey...
The DJ guy.
Party DJ starting beef with Kaylin.
Yeah.
And you knew that they were both going to stay around for an episode or two because, you know, that was an interesting situation. So, yeah, I mean, like, I actually really like Emily's picks so far. Let's just talk about who's left. Let's make some... Well, do you have anything else to say about this episode?
I will say just something quickly. I felt like going off of what you're saying, it's true that it is kind of the golden rule or the clause for this season is you don't say anything bad about her being a mother. You don't say anything bad about her daughter. That's true. However, she got really mad at everybody else. You still there?
Yeah, right. I'm here.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said hold on.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you.
Sorry, folks. We're having some technical difficulties of skipping a little bit, but bear with us.
What was I going to say?
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. It kind of surprised me how mad she got at everybody else for not standing up for her when I felt like that they did. Like, when Kaylin said it, they were all like, that's not cool. And then someone told her about it. Like, what? I don't understand. Like, she wanted it right away? Is that what it was? Because it was...
I think that... When she confronted him, she wanted backup. When she confronted him,
I sided with the guys there. I kind of understand why they didn't say anything there.
Yeah, she was all over it. Let's talk about last season with Ben and Courtney. Like, how many girls got kicked off? Like our girl Emily, getting kicked off because she brought up the fact that Courtney kept saying things about how she wasn't taking the show seriously.
It's almost become a bachelorette rule that you don't talk about the other people. Because the contestant doesn't like it, or the main doesn't like it.
We flip the switch here, and I mean, it's probably related to how much the Bachelor or Bachelorette likes that contestant. Because Ben obviously liked Courtney a lot, so he was like, I don't want to hear from you, other contestant, about Courtney not being right, because I am sexually attracted to her, because she went skinny dipping with me, alright? So, like, let's just, you know, quit talking bad about her. All right, this is a sweet, sweet girl, okay? Sweet enough to console me after I had a bad date and take me into the Caribbean Ocean and go skinny dipping with me to console me. Sweet lady. Sweet as the day is long.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, that wasn't interesting. I was like, whoa, this is like the total opposite of everything else, yeah. So
everyone else probably had watched the other seasons, and they were like, play it cool, don't say anything.
Yeah.
And then Emily flipped out at them, they're like, damn it, still played it wrong. Yeah.
Play it cool, man, play it cool. All right, so let's talk about the people that we have left. We have 8 people left. This is perfect. Oh, it's so perfect. Ari, in alphabetical order, give me your impressions. Ari.
I mean, he's a front runner, definitely. I think she really likes him. And,
I mean, you giving him Final Four? Final Four status?
Oh, yeah. Final Four. What about you?
Me too. Yeah, I mean, Final Four.
No one cannot put RA in Final Four.
Right. So he's Final Four. Chris.
Yeah, I don't think I put him in Final Four right now.
I think I got him out of my Final Four too. And I don't like him that much.
I don't either. He kind of, I don't like Doug, but the way Chris was acting towards Doug.
Yeah, I think
he was kind of causing conflict out of nowhere.
Yeah, I think he was really. I did think that that's what people were going to think about that situation, but when I was watching it, I was like, man, I feel like he's coming from like a good place, but he's just having a little bit of trouble, kind of verbalizing exactly what he wants and then to say, and then he was getting a little bit frustrated, and then that was kind of the tone of what was happening, but...
It was a conversation that kind of went down the wrong road, and then he didn't really
recover. Yeah, exactly. Like, it could have been a much more mature conversation, but it hit a couple of speed bumps.
Yeah.
So, and it made him look like a douche. So...
Okay. Yeah, so you don't... Well, you said you didn't like him that much, but you don't hold that conversation against him too much.
I do not. Okay. I do not hold that conversation against him. Because Doug is just, you know, he's giving up... He's throwing the static at these younger guys, man. He's just like, it's like he's like the alpha male, but like the passive aggressive alpha male. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just like, guys, you just don't understand what being a father is like. Oh, yeah, you know what, man? Like, you're right. Oh, you know, I've dated other girls. No, you don't understand what being a father is like. You cannot understand. I put my life on hold. I left my son at home. You know, like,
yeah.
He's kind of playing the victim card,
like, I'm better because of how much I have to suffer to be here. Yeah,
he's being a martyr. Yeah, and I don't think he does it on purpose.
No, I don't think he does it on purpose.
Like, I don't think he has ill intention. Yeah, I don't think it was planned. Like, he came in and that was his strategy, but like, he is doing it and it makes me not like him.
Right.
So, you know, Doug was our next contestant.
Okay, so Doug was next. I still put Doug in the final four right now, though.
He's borderline for me. I need to see some of the other contestants before I make my final judgments here.
I've got two right now.
I think if I had to guess, I'd put Doug in the final four. Sure. Okay. So Ari and Doug, Jeff with one F. What do you think about Jeff? What are your impressions of Jeff?
I mean, I'm gonna be a girl here and say the hair is kind of crazy and I don't really like it. And from what I've heard,
that's being a girl.
That a lot of people think the hair is ridiculous.
But
I think he's actually pretty funny. I mean, he's on the quieter side, but I think he does get along with her well. And I think he's got kind of a witty side and he can joke around. And he's saying a lot of the right things in terms of what he wants. I have him final four.
I don't know if he's final four or not, but I think he leaves on his own accord because he doesn't like Emily enough.
Oh, that's a bold prediction to make right now.
I know. If you're careful and you listen to all of his answers, they are the right answers, but they're never the ones that are generating, like, you know, like, they're showing his feelings towards Emily.
Right.
Like, he'll say stuff like, I would always do that for my wife,
right.
You know, instead of saying, like, I would always do that for you. You know what I mean? Like, he's very careful about how much he gives her. And I think it's because he doesn't know whether he likes her enough. Because I think he takes it seriously, too.
It does.
Obviously, rule number one for this season.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe he's like, well, he's still trying to figure out whether he really wants to spend the rest of his life with this girl. And rightfully so. I mean, that is what a contestant should be doing. Right. They've spent a cumulative 3 hours together, 3 hours and 45 minutes together. So, you know, she's very intrigued by him, which is interesting to me. I didn't peg at first his type to intrigue her. And I think him being a little bit, kind of like, taken away from the situation personally, like he's kind of like backed off from an emotional level, is drawing her in closer.
Yeah.
Cause it's kind of like him playing hard to get. Like, she's like, why isn't this guy like super into me? And that's what she talks about. She's like, I feel so nervous around you. Like, you're like this cool guy, like you're the cool guy at school or whatever. And I think it's because he really is like, maybe I'm not into this girl, and that's drawing her in because, you know,
right?
She's trying to win him over. It's a mind game that's going on that neither of them are actually kind of, you know, verbalizing, but that's what's happening. Anyway, I think he pulls out.
Okay.
John the Wolf.
Yeah, John won't last much longer. He hasn't done that much. Nope. He seems really boring.
Next one out.
Yeah.
Okay,
I mean, he's one of the next...
I don't know how many... Yeah,
him
I don't
or
know
Travis
how many go
for me.
Next round.
Him or Travis for me.
Travis!
Yeah.
Oh, girl. Bermuda. Travis is gay, first of all. And I don't mean that in a way, because it's not cool to use gay to mean lame or uncool.
Yeah,
I think he's homosexual.
You really think he's a homosexual?
I think he's a homosexual male.
Yeah, I don't think that. I don't think that.
Come here, little sweet girl, little sweet thing. Come on over here and let me. Oh, we're gonna have so much fun today. Oh yeah.
No, I don't think he's gay.
I do. I think he's.
Okay, so
he's gay. If he's not gay, I think how kind of effeminate he is. At least the way he sounds, I think it's gonna do him in.
Yeah, I mean, well, I just said that I picked him, you know, one of the next two out. So obviously no, he's going to do well. I just don't think he's gay.
Right. I think he's actually gay.
Why would he come on The Bachelor?
Maybe he doesn't know he's gay, Julian.
Okay. Well, I don't think we'll figure that one out.
Because we won't have time.
Why?
Because you think he's gone. Oh, so we won't have time.
But I just don't think
him.
He would ever say that on the show.
Or maybe he would. Not. Well, maybe. Yeah, maybe he would. Maybe that's the surprise this season, is that he's like, listen, Emily, you're a sweet thing, but I'm gay. So, Yeah. Oh, yeah, y'all.
All right, so
we're going to have a good old time.
You still think
y'all.
Travis is gone, though. Yeah.
Travis and the Wolfman.
John.
Those are my two out.
Yeah, me too.
So that leaves Ryan and Sean that we haven't talked about.
Yeah.
That gives us a six of Ari, Chris, Doug, Jeff with one F.
Oh.
Ryan and Sean.
Yeah.
From that, I'm picking a final four. Ari for sure. Sean for sure.
Yeah.
I think those are the last two. And then Doug, I think, sneaks in there. I think he sneaks in there. And I think that Jeff makes it in.
Oh, okay. So you say he does make it in, but he still leaves on his own accord.
I do.
Interesting.
I do. So that leaves Ryan out of the six, out of the power six. So we already know that John the Wolf and Travis are going home.
Yeah.
Out of the power six, that leaves me with Ryan and Chris leaving.
Okay.
Before the final four.
Yeah, I think.
Give me your thoughts.
I think I have the same. Honestly, it's not much fun in terms of discussion, but I think I have the same. Well, I really. Ryan kind of came on strong a little bit this last episode.
I know he did. Like, so what did she say? She said,
"I don't want to, but I'm starting to like him more and more."
Yeah, she did say that. So
I mean, I think
I don't know.
Jeff and Doug are the two on the bottom of my final four. So I think Ryan could maybe sneak into the four spot.
I think that by how dynamic his personality is, he's going to do something that is negatively, you know, something that reflects negatively upon him in order for him to leave. You know,
there
what I
was
mean?
A like, preview about someone being there for the competition, and I wonder if that's him.
What do you mean being there for the competition?
Like there's a in the preview, the guys are talking about this guy just said he's in here to win Emily, like it's a competition in a game.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's Ryan that
and especially after Emily has said that she wants to be told of all these conversations that
I mean,
are happening
guys are going to start
house.
Bringing her everything that happens to them.
Well,
nothing is safe. You can't say anything out of line.
Oh yeah, they're going to be like, "Look, Emily, I didn't want to tell you this, but Chris didn't shave before his date with you."
Just thought you should know.
And I really think Or they're going to say something like this, like, Chris doesn't make his bed in the morning when he gets up. And I'm a strong believer. This is going to be Doug talking. And
he's
I'm a strong just, believer.
It shows how young he is, for one.
He doesn't
know what life's about.
Right. Yeah. You're not prepared to make beds, make your kid's bed. What about making two beds? And the way
you think
you're
going to be able to make breakfast for your kids in the morning? You can't even make your bed.
If you can't even make a bed? Right. And making your bed reflects on how not only you prepare for a day, but how you prepare for life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you take care of all the little things that are required?
It's different when you have a son or a daughter. It's just different.
You don't understand. It's not even about having a son or a daughter. I mean, it is, but even when you take that away, it's just about being mature and having life experiences. So, Dougie's going to get... I mean, the guy...
Maybe
the guy
you know what? Maybe Doug's not in the final four. Maybe he's not. After
I think... You think he cheeses his way out?
He might.
Soon?
I mean, she might just not... I mean, I don't think he necessarily will do anything wrong. She might just not like him.
Who are the guys time. That she said are super good looking?
Chris?
Chris?
Sean. I think, are the two.
Sean.
And
she
Chris.
Did say that she thought Ari would look really good in a race car.
Okay.
She keeps talking about Doug being this perfect guy.
Yeah, but she doesn't like it, I don't think.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, maybe Ryan's in there instead of Doug. I'm starting to rethink my final four.
I don't think so. She's like, he just thinks he can get any girl he wants.
And look at me just falling for it.
Look at me just falling for it. And she's gonna be like, she's gonna be like, I'm too mature for that. So again, I've got Ari, Doug, Jeff, and Sean.
You know what? I'm gonna put Ryan in the final four. I'm taking Doug out. I'm doing it.
Doug's gone.
Doug is out.
Dougie Doug is gone. Who wins it then? Out of your final four?
Sean.
Sean? You think Sean John wins?
I do.
I think it's Ari.
I mean, it's between those two.
I don't know, because I think it maybe is Sean, and Ari gets his heart broken because he's so gentle and caring.
Ari?
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's so, like, emotionally vulnerable and is always, like, rubbing your back. And so, you know what I mean? Like, he's kind of, like, he's not being the big, strong man that she wants to...
Yeah.
To guide her life. And Sean is,
He doesn't play D1 football, apparently. He dropped that in somewhere. I don't know where he played. Did you look that up?
No, I didn't look that up. Come on, we haven't even done a podcast. I'm not going to look up this stuff.
Well, he is a big guy.
All right, so we're both agreeing that Ari and Sean, final two.
Yeah.
Give me one more episode to decide who I think is going to win.
Okay. I'm going to one-up you and... Call it now. I'm calling Sean.
Calling Sean. I don't think you're going
it's
out.
Not a risky, it's not a risky move.
Right.
There.
Right. I don't think you're going out on too thin of a limb on that one. All right.
No.
You're in a solid position to build a treehouse on that limb.
What's it called? What are the lower branches called?
Lower down, not as high.
No, I know that. But is there a word for like a really thick branch? At the bottom of a tree?
Primary? I don't know.
Okay. Never mind.
I think it depends on how many rings it has inside of it. So that's The Bachelorette, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that, you know, I think that this season is way more boring than seasons past. Or not more boring, but more serious.
It's more boring.
It's just... But it's because it's more serious.
But I think it's ironic that in the seasons past, we make fun of how ridiculous it is, but then this season, we talk about how boring it is.
Because it's serious.
Yeah.
Because it's serious. Yeah.
They can't win.
Because someone's,
we're gonna just...
someone's actually trying to find a husband or a soulmate to spend the rest of their life with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you, man. It's
we're a tough crowd to please.
It's a double-edged sword here at Navy by Nature, and you know what? We call it like we see it.
Mm-hmm.
Calls it like we see it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's switch gears. Let's talk about
we're going straight from
sports.
First gear to fifth gear. We're just skipping a bunch of gears.
We're going from first gear to driving a tractor. We're just going to a completely damn gears too. We're going from first gear to walking. That's what
we're slowing
doing.
Down.
We're completely changing our mode of transportation.
You shouldn't have went to walking.
I don't know. We're going from first gear to Mach 3.
Okay.
How about that?
That's a little right. much. It's a little much.
It is a lot.
Big change.
Maybe we should have settled for Mach 1.
Yeah, I would have been okay with Mach 1. Maybe. Even that.
Wow. It's a good thing this is a running commentary podcast. And now I have to live with my horrible analogies. My horrible set of analogies.
Yeah. There's a few in a row.
Plenty in a row. Anything you want to talk about before we get into Euro? Because we're going to cover Euro extensively. And I like that. UNC baseball? Biggest disappointment of the summer so far?
Well, okay. Yeah, sure. I mean, the summer so far, there hasn't really been much else.
Yeah. Wait, no, bigger disappointment. Not as big as UNC B-ball. No.
Right. No.
Congratulations from Navy by Nature, first of all, to the Los Angeles Kings for winning the first Stanley Cup championship in franchise history.
Yep.
I think it was well deserved.
Yep. I didn't watch any games of the finals. I'm going to say it. I didn't watch any.
All right.
My cable hasn't been working for 3 weeks.
Both teams were very neutral zone oriented and just really like well great, good skating teams. Mm-hmm. And so they matched up well, but you know, the Kings, and it didn't reflect itself as much in the series against New Jersey as it did the series before when they went through the 1, 2, and 3 seeds and only lost 2 games. But they were just so much better skating team than any of those other teams. I mean, it was like the other team struggled 90% of the time to get it out of their own blue zone or to get it past the center line.
Okay.
Yeah. No, not even the blue, like the center line, because they would get into the neutral zone, but then it was like the Kings had just this forechecking cycle, and it was just churning and churning and churning, and no matter where they passed the puck, the Kings were there and they'd steal it. Mm-hmm. And then when the Kings were getting out of their zone, it was always like a guy knew exactly where somebody else was. And I think that's a system of, you know, them switching coaches to Daryl Sutter in the middle of the season. So, mm-hmm. Because apparently he's just instituted this new style that's been phenomenal. And I wish him the best of luck going forward. And special congratulations to Justin Williams, former Carolina Hurricane, earning his second Stanley Cup last night. So... I think with that, let's jump into Euro. Julian, have you been? How have you enjoyed it so far?
I think that some of it was typical of group stage games and even first games within the group stage. There was some caginess, especially when big matchups. Those matchups were especially cagey. I think this happens a lot with some of the teams that kind of have nothing to lose and they feel like they need to get points to have any chance of moving on. They kind of go for it. And the Greece-Poland game was really good.
I mean, that was a 1-1 tie.
But there was a lot of drama. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I know. It was the most dramatic game so far.
Yeah, and then the Russia-Czech Republic was a lot of goals. So...
Croatia beating Ireland 3-1.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's probably more of a product of Ireland maybe not being the highest ranked team that's in this competition. Although a side that's always made it out of group stage in Euro competitions when Ireland? They've been in the tournament before. Yeah.
Yeah, but they don't make it that much. So that stat is
but when they're skewed. When they're in, they make it the group stage, so I'm just saying maybe there's something there. I don't know. So group A is easy to talk about, easier to talk about because we've seen 2 games. As of today, Tuesday, we've seen both games 1 and 2 from the group games. We talked about this a little bit. First game, Greece Poland 1-1, and then the other game, Russia 4-1 over the Czech Republic. Today, a different story. Russia ties Poland 1-1,
mm-hmm.
and the Czech Republic beats Greece 2-1 with 2 goals in the first 6 minutes of the game. I think we talked about this. Russia winning and winning by 3 goals, it's almost impossible for them not to move on through the next round. The only way would be, they dovetail with Greece's possibilities of moving on. Now with only 1 point of moving on to the next round, Greece, who plays Russia next, would have to win that game by 3 goals. And that is the only way to ensure that there's a possibility that Russia doesn't make it and Greece does make it. The winner of the Czech Republic-Poland game advances. Hope if there is a winner. I think that those 2 teams can go at each other fairly hard, knowing that if they get the win, they'll move on, which I think will be good. I think that'll be good soccer.
Czech Republic definitely needs the win.
Czech Republic has 3 points.
Yeah.
Poland has 2 points. neither team. Well, I mean, Czech Republic with a tie is probably assured that they're going to move on.
Yeah.
But Poland, yeah. So I think, like, kind of like you said, like Poland kind of knows that they have to win a game, so they'll come out in a game.
Yeah,
not,
I mean,
like,
Poland's
Greece
just going to get creamed. I think is what's going to happen.
You think they're gonna attack so much that they open themselves up and then just get crushed by the Czechs?
I feel like that happens a lot at the end of the group. The team that can kind of hold out for a draw early on, they end up kind of just losing bad at the end.
It's either that or they get scored on and then they're down 1-0. And then it's like a scramble because they're like, we have to get points here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then they get scored on again.
So here it is. If Poland goes up 1-0 in that game will get very, very feisty.
Oh, I see what you're
very
saying.
Very interesting.
If Poland goes up
1-0, you know,
yes. Agreed.
That's the
best case scenario as a neutral fan, is you want Poland to score first. Yes.
In the other game, it doesn't really matter. I mean, I don't think there's any way that Greece beats Russia by 3 goals, so.
No. Russia is gonna...
I think we can write Greece off at this point. I feel bad doing that because I have Greek friends, but...
I think we have to.
I feel bad doing that. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Group B.
Yeah. Group of Death.
All
four teams
game,
ranked in the top 10 in the world.
Right. The Danes, the highest ranked, at number 10.
No, the Portugal is number 10.
Denmark's number 9.
Yeah.
Is taking on the Dutch in the first game and come out with a shocking result.
Yeah.
3 points.
Yeah.
3 points for the Danes and none for the Dutch so far in group competition.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm afraid of, because I really like the Netherlands. I like the way that they play soccer. I think that they play similar to Spain, a style that is very fun to watch in the offensive third. It's very creative.
It wasn't against Denmark.
Okay, well, let me finish. I think we saw that just... utter domination, just having the ball and you're attacking third almost the entire portion of the game until Denmark scored and went up 1-0. And then it was kind of like the Netherlands, like, completely lost focus of their game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think maybe you can extrapolate that into a bigger picture and say, like, does now them having lost the first game kind of completely knock them off of their equilibrium? And they just don't ever show up as the same team that was there for the first 20 minutes of that first game and looked very dangerous and very good.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a possibility. I mean, that's why it's the first game is so important. You really don't want to lose the first game because it can really set the tone for the rest of the group stage.
Right, and now they've got Germany. It's not like they have like an easy team to attack.
That was the
Germany
game that they had to win.
That was
the game that they had to win so that they could settle for draws against Germany or Portugal. Because even though Portugal is 10, you'd rather play Denmark than Portugal. I mean, Portugal just has more weapons than Denmark does. Even though Denmark is a tough team to beat, Portugal's more likely to be a team that would beat you.
Right, because especially in this scenario, if you're looking to kind of light a fire under your attack and get going offensively, that opens you up to Portugal because they have tremendous wings and really, you know, a quick attack.
Mm-hmm.
It'll leave you exposed.
Netherlands has to try and get back to what they do. And obviously we know Netherlands are totally capable of beating both Germany and Portugal, and they have to win one of them. They have to beat one of the teams and probably at least draw the other one. They have to get at least four points.
No, absolutely. At least 4 points.
Yeah.
And I could see them tying Germany and then beating Portugal. I could see that happening.
But I could also
I could see
the Dutch not getting through the group right now.
I could see them losing every game.
Yep.
From here on out, because Germany's good. And I think the Dutch are mentally weak.
They're a little bit frazzled now, probably, or they could be.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I think that they were fragile to begin with. They play great, but then when something bad happens, like they're not a team.
I mean, here's how Denmark can recover, or I'm sorry, Netherlands can recover.
Dutch.
They score early. In the next game.
Yeah, they need to score early against Germany.
Yeah. And then they need to get back into their rhythm. They get their confidence back.
Right.
And you know, hopefully they get a point. I mean, none of us, no neutral fan wants to see Netherlands knocked out of the tournament at this round.
Absolutely not.
So all of us are cheering for them to do something against Germany. Germany already has 3 points, so we're feeling, you know, better that they're going to advance. So
if they get and then Germany's last game is against Denmark. So I mean, even if they lose to the Netherlands, even if they lose to the Netherlands, they're looking at potentially 6 points.
Yes,
out of the group. So
the Netherlands Portugal game is going to probably be a
paramount.
Huge game. Yes,
that's going to be paramount. That's going to decide who goes through. I believe.
I think so too.
Or you know, I mean, Denmark could cruise.
We're still discounting Denmark.
And the announcers, Alexei Lala said before the tournament, like, everyone's throwing the Danes away, just throwing away like yesterday's diapers. But they're ranked number 9 in the world, and there's a reason for that. They're a good team. So
they're a team that's very, very hard to beat. I think they're not super dynamic.
Tough team.
Yeah, a very tough team to beat. They probably don't have enough firepower to win the whole tournament, but they will cause anybody problems, as we saw.
You're not going to see anybody. I was going to say you're not going to see anybody beat them 3-0. But if they get in an elimination game where they get down 1-0, then maybe they open themselves up to some more goals. In theory, in a group stage game when they don't have to win, in any neutral game, any first game of the tournament, it's going to be close. It's going to be a close game. Yes. So if you had to pick right now who you see going through, you definitely see Germany going through?
Yes. I'm going to stick with Germany, Netherlands. Partly because I want it to happen, but...
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think the Dutch mentally recover from this. I think that the only kind of like shot in the arm that they can get, the only antidote, is a really early goal against Germany. Even if they then go on to tie that game, that it kind of puts them back in their attacking rhythm because they've been completely knocked out of it right now. I mean, the Netherlands team that you saw the first 20 minutes before Denmark scored, you did not see the rest of the game.
Right.
Did not see that confidence the rest of the game.
But the other thing is Denmark changed their style slightly too. I mean, the game
more defensive. Sure. But possession wise in the attacking third, even if Denmark is sitting back and letting them come at them, you know, from 40 yards in, you didn't see that kind of passing around. You just didn't see the confidence. You know what I mean?
The pressure starts mounting because the stakes suddenly get higher, and they went into this
and
game
you're a
thinking,
favorite. Yeah. Sure.
You're thinking you're at least going to get a tie, hopefully a win, and suddenly as time goes by, you're thinking, well, we actually could really lose this game, and then what does that mean? Yeah. That means we have to play Germany and Portugal.
You start panicking about having to score,
just the pressure mounts on their shoulders, and they didn't handle it very well, but we've seen teams, you know, in every sport completely turn things around going into another game, and let's just hope the Netherlands do that. Let's hope you're wrong. I think you would agree. Let's hope that you're wrong and that they're...
Yes, let's... I hope that I'm wrong.
Right, exactly. And that Netherlands get an early goal against Germany, get some confidence, hopefully get the win, and then it's...
Portugal
then everyone
Denmark.
Has 3 points. Well, if Portugal were to beat Denmark, there could be a four-way tie.
Absolutely.
Going into the last game, which would be very interesting.
It would be.
It would live up to its name as the group of death if all four teams had 3 points.
I think that's going to happen. I honestly think that's going to happen. I think that Portugal's going to beat Denmark. Actually, you know, I don't know. I think Portugal's going to tie Denmark.
I think they're going to tie Denmark too. It would be fun if it was 3 points across the board. It would be really fun.
I think Denmark's going to tie Germany. I think that they...
Well, that would be the last game
their,
too.
No, the next game, not Denmark. Netherlands is going to tie Germany.
So
I think that gives us Germany 4-3-1-1.
4-3.
Germany with
4-1-1.
No. Oh, yeah. 4-4-1-1. Right.
And then, Germany and Denmark advance.
They play each other. They play each other, right. Right. So then it depends on goal differential, and you get into... kind of some crazy scenarios for that last.
Either way, that group could be really, really tight coming into the last day.
Topsy-turvy. So who do you see coming out? Germany and who? Germany and Netherlands?
I'm gonna stick with Netherlands. They're
just because you want it. Just because you wanted
it. I wanted
so bad.
And they were the best team in qualifying. So they have as much talent as anybody.
You think they have a team only meeting? Get together.
Players only meeting.
Players only meeting. Yeah. And kind of regroup.
Yeah. Maybe what they need is Edwin Vandersar to come back. Tell him what's up.
They do. Maybe special guest appearance in the locker room from Vandersar.
Yeah. They have actually probably better players than Vandersar that could come.
Well, that's probably true. I hope they have a moment where they kind of regroup as a team and play well, because that's...
I mean, Germany Netherlands could be if that was a wide open game, that would be beautiful soccer.
Fun to watch, especially if Netherlands gets back in rhythm, really fun to watch.
Yeah,
and that's tomorrow.
Hold on, I have it.
Group B, yeah.
Yeah, it's tomorrow. It's the second game tomorrow. Is
first?
Oh,
game
no. Wait, are they switching it up? I see Portugal, Denmark, and then.
Okay, Portugal, Denmark, and then Germany.
Oh yeah, it must be the late game. That's weird. Okay. I'm only seeing one game for tomorrow, but there's surely the...
Yeah, there's two. Yeah,
the other one.
Okay, so... Yeah, I don't know who's going to come out of the group, man.
You have to pick two.
I think that this Euro Cup is due for a shock and a disappointment. And I think that it comes from the Netherlands because of their performance and how I saw them respond to going down in the first game. So I'm going to pick Germany and Denmark.
Okay.
I'm going to pick the Danes to come out. I think they lose just because, just because I think they can play with Portugal. You know what I mean?
Play with Portugal. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think they lose to Germany. But I think that they can play with Portugal.
So they end up with 4 points.
Yeah, at least four. Oh. At least four. Okay. Moving on to Group C. I found this group extremely entertaining.
I did too.
Spain, Italy. I will say that biggest surprise for me, other than the Netherlands losing, biggest surprise for me was how well Italy played. How good they looked.
They did look good, didn't they? I mean, I agree with you 100%. I was very impressed with the Italians.
So was I.
And it was a bit of a cagey game. The Spanish were playing a formation where they were going to hold the ball a whole lot and pass around a whole lot, not necessarily having much of a cutting edge. But the Italians responded well, and they created chances for themselves.
And they didn't stop attacking. They weren't settling for the tie. I mean, they were pushing forward. And they're playing, there's been kind of this I've watched a fair amount of international soccer, but not a ton of kind of outside of World Cup and Euro Cup and stuff like that. But that the Italians maybe needed to resort to their older style of playing a little bit more defensive and kind of focusing on set pieces. But they played wide open in that game.
Well, and to some extent. I mean, I think they definitely brought numbers forward in the attack. I wouldn't say they played wide open. I mean, they couldn't play too wide open against the Spanish.
No. Yeah, but they didn't. Right. They were not shy to push the ball forward.
No, when they got the ball up, they definitely got some support. And Pirlo is, as they mentioned a lot in the game, he's a great distributor of the ball, a great passer. His shorts looked ridiculous. They looked a little baggy.
We'll talk about that, sure.
And
I think he even had
the
strings. I think he had the strings hanging out of his shorts, too.
He's old school. Pirlo's old school.
Which did not help. Did not help, yeah.
He looked like a rec soccer player. Like a little kid.
Early 90s World Cup.
It looked like he should have had the ankle guards on his shin guards, like all the way down into the shoes.
No, he looked like he was playing in the 94 World Cup. It was very, very old school.
You'd be hard pressed to find a team that's going to defend better than the Italians. I don't think it's a bold statement to say they defend better than anybody else. The fact that they are bringing some numbers forward, and the guy off the bench, Di Natale, who came in for Balotelli.
Oh, yeah.
He was clinical on his first touch. Clinical. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets the start in the next game, because Balotelli made himself look like an idiot, as you
know. He did. Right. I mean, like, I don't get that guy. It's, you know, he's frustrating to watch.
Yeah. But,
it's frustrating to watch.
But no, I mean, we'll probably get to that. But Italians, after one game, have come to the forefront of my prediction and my picks.
In terms of quality. Not only to get out of the group, but to be there the final four, or maybe even the final game.
Yes.
Definitely. I agree with you. Do you think Spain gets out as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, you think they find a little bit better attacking form?
Well, here's what I think the Spanish will do. I think they will...
Who do they play next? Do they play Ireland next, or do they play Croatia next?
I'm not sure.
Because I think if they play Ireland next, that's a defense.
They play Ireland.
I think that's a defense to be exploited pretty easily by
I think
Spanish.
Both of them are, to be honest. I think Spain can stick with what they're doing right now and have a lot more success against Croatia and Ireland. Croatia could definitely steal a goal, maybe, you know, do something on the counter. Ireland, they're only going to score on a set piece if they score, which is possible. They're not going to create something out of nothing and you know, pass the ball around and beat the Spanish. Well, I mean, Spanish doesn't have an amazing defense, but I just don't see
Irish getting through midfield.
They're not going to get through midfield to even get to that position. They could score in a set piece. And maybe their defense really buckles down and they just, you know, park the airplane in front of the goal.
Yeah. Isn't that how Denmark beat the Netherlands? Didn't they score in a set piece?
Yeah. Right?
So,
it was a cross.
No. It was a clearance that deflected off of a player and right to the Danish player that then just took on one guy and shot it in. So I mean, you could say that was kind of like,
oh right,
you know, they didn't you know, like, organically generate the scoring opportunity.
Sure,
it's somewhat of you know, I don't want to call it a fluke because they're a good side, but you know what I mean? I you know, anything can happen. Ireland could score on a set piece and then just park it. And Spain could have one of those super frustrating games where they
just like
cannot
hit the post four times.
Oh, yeah, four times, and, like, the goalie saves a set piece and all that, you know, a shot and all this stuff, so...
I mean, I think what they might do, I don't know if... Because they have another striker on the bench, Llorente, who's a really big kind of sit-in-the-box, can head it in, he's good with his back-to-goal. And so he's very different than, like, a Torres. And if Ireland really kind of, if the game never opens up at all,
right.
They could just kind of bring him in and then just cross it in until
something happens. That's their game, is to find those little seams and play those one-touch balls through behind the defense. But if Ireland packs it in, then you need that guy in the middle to, like, cross it in and just try, you know, just hope it falls at the right place.
Yeah. And with the Italians, the game did open up, and, you know, and then they put in a winger, which I think helped. Jesus Navas, and then put in Torres, and the game really opened up at that point. I don't know if it's because they brought those guys in, or if because of fatigue and other factors, the game kind of opened up, which happens a lot towards the end
of
the
game. Well, I think that Fabregas' goal is exactly what you expect from the Spanish side. You expect 2 to 3 of those goals.
That's the thing.
On a Spanish side that's playing as they did in the World Cup.
Yeah, but, I mean, expect them to be creating a lot more chances than they did, though. I mean, that was the only clear... Well, no, before Torres came on and the game opened up, that was the only goal or the only chance they created that way, pretty much.
Right. No, I hear you.
Iniesta played great. He had a really good game.
Oh, brilliant. Iniesta,
he's a little wizard.
He is. I want to say he's like Pirlo, but Pirlo has nowhere near the foot skills.
No, he's a lot. And Pirlo's a great passer, and Iniesta is really crafty.
He's so crafty.
Yeah.
They all are. I mean, that's how the Spanish play. They're so crafty in tight spaces. It's like, and when you press them to get them in tight spaces, you open yourselves up to those runs behind you, and then they just sneak in. And like you saw,
Fabregas.
No, but the pass. Silva. Yeah, David Silva, brilliant one-touch pass, outside of the foot pass to to Fabregas running on. And then it was just a touch in. I mean, it was just kind of like a training ground, just put it away and then pull the ball out and let's keep playing. So
I do think that one thing that I think was brought up in the commentary for the game is that as crafty as those players are, they're not tall and they're not fast. I mean,
they're not
relatively
tall.
So. I mean, they're quick, but they don't have a whole lot of speed in that starting lineup that they played.
I think Italy matched them. I really do. I think that I don't think they escaped with a tie. I think that Italy.
No, they deserved a tie.
They deserved a tie, and I think if they would have won, I would have said they deserved to win.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said that they sprung one on the Spanish.
No,
you know
I
what
agree.
I'm saying.
I agree.
So
I think it sounds like we're both in agreement that Italy and Spain,
two best teams we've seen so far.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I mean, Germany and the Dutch.
Germany,
you know,
it's hard to gauge.
That much.
Yeah.
They didn't do that much. Well, the Dutch we
just
talked about.
But they're
Germany.
They're in a. Yeah, I mean they're.
And they had to play Portugal, so that's not.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
Portugal's
I mean,
really good.
I would have expected the Portugal Germany game to be a little less cagey, to be a little bit more
it's
open.
The first
like
game,
the Spanish
though. First
Italy
game.
But the Italy Spain game is the first game, and it was wide open.
I wouldn't call it wide open.
I wouldn't say it was wide open.
I would
but
say
it more...
ended pretty wide open, and there were some clear cut chances that we didn't see so much in the other games.
Right, right, but, and maybe that's a product of both teams getting earlier goals, like
right.
You know, Italy scoring first and then kind of having but then Spain scoring again. So Italy was kind of like, oh man, like we were up, like we have the ability to play with these guys and score. So like let's push it, let's go for it. Instead of just sitting back on that 1-0 lead. You know what I mean? Like a 0-0 game that stays that way for a long time, or a 1-0 game that stays that way for a long time, is going to kind of produce a cagey affair, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
So, and then Group D?
Mm-hmm.
Group D. What do you have to say about the... Le Blues. Le Blues and your three Lions.
Yeah, So I was really pleased with the result as I was cheering for England. It's what England had to do. I mean, with how much pressure England gets because of the media and their fan base, it was necessary to get a point out of this game. They were playing the toughest team in the group right off the bat. And it just, we talked about, you know, the scenarios for the Dutch, and the Dutch are in a much tougher group. Granted, but, you know, when you lose that first game, suddenly, you know, the next two games become a lot more difficult. Getting a tie, even though it's just 1 point, it really, because it makes it so France also only got 1 point. And it kind of really makes the rest of the group a lot more manageable if you do your job. You don't have to necessarily strain yourself to get out of the group.
Yeah. That was the job that they needed, or that was the game they needed to get the job done.
Mm-hmm. And there's no Wayne Rooney, which does change things.
That
he's
was,
their best
that
player.
Was,
he's one of
the
best
that
players
was
the
game.
In the tournament. And yeah, and so, I mean, mm-hmm. I think that...
I think...
Go ahead. I feel like we're delayed.
Yeah, we're having a little bit of difficulties. I think I'm trying to bring up... I'm trying to bring up the bracket here, so that's kind of... That's kind of what's causing some problems.
Oh, okay. You can hear me fine.
I can hear you fine. It's just we're a little delayed. Anyway, I was just going to say, like, I think for the way that England chose to play, like, very subdued, like, we're withdrawn, I think. And like you said, it was just as important for them to get a point as it was for them to only give France a point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think they did their job.
Yeah.
And now they'll be looking to attack more.
I hope they do. My judgment on how I feel about England is kind of to be determined. Like, I was okay with the style for this game. I don't want to see that game, that style against Sweden. I don't want to see that style against Ukraine. But I was okay with it against the French. And to be honest, England defended very well. I mean, as well as, you know, most anyone did so far. You know, and they were packing it in, but at the same time, they were very disciplined, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Yeah, there was only probably a handful of moments where you had to really hold your breath, which is great against a dangerous side like like France. I mean, there was
the goal. Chances
were
from outside the box, apart from there was that header, I guess. Absolutely. That was really close. But everything else was...
The header was close.
Taking shots from outside.
Nasri's shot from outside, and then Benzema had a bender that looked like it was surely going in. That was deflected.
He hit that really well.
Yeah, so, but, yeah, I don't know. I was really impressed with France. And I know that it's easy to say that because England was just, you know, like, they were letting France focus on the best part of France. The
they were giving France possession. But I don't think you're wrong in saying that France looked good. I mean, I think they did look good.
And
especially
I'm saying
how
they
played in recent tournaments.
Right, I'm saying that's because England didn't try to exploit France's weakness, which is their defense.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think that a team like Spain or, I mean, even like a Portugal or anybody like that with like an aggressive attack would exploit some of France's problems. But I think France looked one of the best sides in the first round.
Yeah, I agree. They definitely did a good job moving the ball around, and they did get some chances for themselves against a team that was just basically trying to not let them score. I mean, that was the main priority. So,
yeah.
No, I mean, I think I said this to you earlier. I see France as a sleeper to kind of, you know,
sneak through the tournament,
and before you know it, the French are in the semifinals or finals.
Are in the semis, yeah. Oh, absolutely. I was going to say, I think if just based on, and I don't know how the bracket looks, that's why I was trying to pull it up, but if I had to pick four teams in the semis right now, it would be Spain, Italy, France, and Germany. Those were the best teams in the first games.
Right.
And again, I know that it's because England let France look that good. That was the game plan.
Right.
But they did look good.
Yeah. I mean, and it's tough to do the bracket right now because it depends where you end up in your group as to what side of the bracket
right.
you're on.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, who knows? I mean, and I think England and France are going to be matched up with Spain and Italy. And so it's,
right. so
it's kind of like
play.
You don't know. Even if Spain and Italy both advance, maybe it's goal differential, maybe it's a point or two, you know, like, that separates Spain and Italy. I don't know who you want. And so, like, if Italy wins the group, is it better to be second in Group D?
It'll be fun to talk about this. I guess all three games will be group games will have been played the next time we have this podcast. So it'll be fun to talk about how the quarterfinals have shaken out.
Yes.
Just because probably, and I think that for the group stages, like you said, for the third game, that there'll be a ton of groups that are like one team with 4 points, two teams with 3 points, one team with 1 point.
It'll
you know
be like
mean?
The end of the EPL season where it's like, if this team scores one more goal, then this team gets relegated, this team wins the championship. Like, it's just all this, like all these, they're going to be running through scenarios through all the games.
Right. Yeah, exactly. During the games, they'll be like, and in this game, this is what's going to happen. Now, is it they play the third game at the same time so that one team doesn't know what the other team has to do? I don't know. I was asking you.
I don't think so. I don't think it'll be quite that dramatic, but I do think there'll be...
They do that in the World Cup, right?
Well, they do that in the early stages, but it's not in... I think it's just because there's so many games.
I think they do that in the World Cup. On purpose, they make sure that the third game of each group is at the same time so that the teams don't
know. Yeah, that was logic, obviously. I think you might be right about that. I mean, it's obviously logical.
We don't know.
We don't know if they're doing that
in
Europe.
We don't know yet. So, yeah, okay. And then, I mean, like Ukraine or Sweden, do you think anyone poses a threat to come out of the group?
Well, if Sweden had beat the Ukraine, I would have been worried.
You would have been worried.
Because Sweden is a bit like a Denmark. They're not as good as Denmark, but they're a disciplined team. And they have a couple of guys that can score. I mean...
Yeah, well, Salah Ibrahimovic and...
Right. And so, I mean... But it's good for England and France that Ukraine won. I mean, Ukraine's at home, so England has to play Ukraine the last game. Let's say England draws with... I'm not going to go through all the situations right now, but I guess...
They'd have to beat Sweden to advance, unless they want to sit on 3 points from three ties.
Right. Well, Ukraine has 3 points already.
That's what I'm saying. So then Ukraine has 4 points, England has 3 points, you know, like they...
So if Sweden beats England in game two, then it's... Everything is wide open again.
Well, if Sweden beats England in game two, England has to beat the Ukraine.
Yeah. And Ukraine's at
home. There's no way that they can advance with 2 points.
No, you're right. Well, it would be with... Right. No, you're right. 2 points.
Right. Exactly. Isn't it mathematically impossible to advance with 2 points? I'm going to do some scenarios tonight and try to figure out if it is mathematically possible to advance with 2 points. I'm pretty sure it's a minimum of three.
Okay. So you can definitely advance with four. A lot of teams will get through with four.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But a lot of the time, there's 2 4-point teams, and one of them loses out on goal differential. That happens. Like, the second and third place teams have four.
Or 2 3-point teams.
Or two, yeah, maybe, yeah, you may be right. That might make more sense. But
we talked about in Group A, yeah.
Yeah, goal differential definitely will play in to one of the groups.
I think there's going to be a ton, like you said, almost in every group. Depending on maybe how Spain and Italy do in their next games. I think if both of them win,
mm-hmm.
they have 6 points, then...
Well, they would have four.
No, they'd have four. You're right. They tied. And it's still wide open.
Yeah, because Croatia has three.
So and Italy like, is... Yeah, let's, yeah, Croatia has three, so...
I mean, we're...
Woo! It could get
Croatia, if they... Yeah, Croatia could still get out.
Okay, all right. Let's do this. Best goal so far.
Best goal? I'm having trouble.
I'll say Nasri's goal. Okay. Although, you get very lucky with, like, the people shielding, you know, like, Joe Hart and, like, you know, and he beat him near post because there were people in the way. Like, when Steven Gerrard came out, he, like, threw his body in the opposite direction to prevent the far post shot.
Yeah.
And, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
if he
made it look like he was going far post.
Yeah, and if he stays still, then maybe he blocks. Anyway, I thought that was a great goal, great placement. Obviously, the David Silva, like, flick.
Yeah,
pass.
I think that combination was really nice too.
What was the Italian goal?
It was like it was a through ball. The striker Pirlo. Ran onto it, opened up his body, just kind of flicked it over.
Oh yeah! Right after he came on as a substitute.
That was his first touch.
Yeah, it's a good touch.
It might have been his second. He might have taken one touch to control it.
Yeah, it might have literally taken one. No. I think he had one pass before that sequence.
Okay, so his second touch.
It was like his third, literally his third touch was a goal.
I love seeing like a clinical finish like that. One-on-one with the keeper.
Just open up your body, perfect. Hit it far post. Yeah. It's
beautiful.
I'm trying to think of, I mean, I just don't remember.
I feel like there was one goal that I missed that people are talking about. Was really nice, like a rip from outside. It might have been in a 1-1 tie. Was it today, Poland? Did Poland rip one from outside today?
Yeah, Poland had a just a laser today.
Okay. That's what
they did.
That's
they
I
did.
Didn't see it.
I missed it. Yeah, I missed it because I was getting lunch to come back and watch the second half.
Yeah.
And I missed it, but it was just a laser.
You saw the replay?
Or it might have been because... Yeah, I saw a replay of it, and I just remember seeing it go into the far post, and the guy just going absolutely bonkers.
Because
they were playing, Greece was playing. Greece lost 2-1 to the Czech Republic to the Czechs, and then Poland was playing who else in Group A?
Russia,
yeah. And so Russia went up 1-0, and then Poland just had I mean it was nasty.
Yeah, so are you putting that's a candidate?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of saying, like, you know, round one since we're...
Oh, I guess that's a round two goal, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, I really liked the Italian
goal. Yeah, I'm trying to think, I can't even remember, I mean, I feel like the Sweden-Ukraine goals were all headers.
Well, Ukraine's both goals were headers.
Yeah, and... Ibrahimovic's goal was like, I feel like a lot of goals have just been like, oh, this nestled in the box.
Yeah.
You know, Poland, like it bounces
Greece,
around a couple
people. The first goal of the tournament was really nice. It was a cross and a header, but it was just very well weighted cross. Kind of.
Yeah.
More of like a fast break kind of thing.
Oh, who had a great header? It was, He would have just a really, really nice header into the side netting. Like a pretty famous
Germany.
Player.
Gomez.
Germany's Gomez's header.
Yeah.
Was really nice.
Yeah.
Really nice header.
Yep.
Really nice header. So anyway, it's gonna be interesting. I think maybe we should cap it.
Yeah.
120.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. One more time. Thanks to Celestial Seasonings for its continued support of this program, and from folks like you out there, all over the world, even in New Zealand, who are enjoying our commentary, and you know, we hope you continue to, and you know, offer us any comments you want, anything you want to cover, goal of the tournament, stuff like that. You know, we can handle it. So. Julian, why don't you take us home?
All right. Well, so yeah, we want to thank everyone again. We're going to continue this for the next, I don't know, I guess until
four or five weeks.
So it's going to be a little more Bachelorette next week. We are going to get back on track. We apologize for our absence, but we are going to get back on track. We're going to be doing Bachelorette and Euro. For the next 4 or 5 weeks. So we appreciate it.
And don't forget the Olympic coverage that's going to be creeping up on us pretty soon.
And we might even have to throw in a cheeky Wimbledon coverage as well, which I think might even fall
sure.
in between the two. At least touch on it.
I saw a graphic of Nadal's victories on clay courts in the French Open. Just French Open victories.
Yeah.
Versus Federer and Djokovic and just all these other people, and he has 36 victories.
Yeah.
In Roland Gables, and Federer, like, the next highest is like 10, or like maybe like 9.
Yeah, he's won. Well, that can't be right.
No, it is right. Absolutely.
Victories in the
yeah
tournament?
Victories in the tournament. Yeah.
Well, Federer, how many games or matches do you play in one tournament?
I don't know, like 4 or 5?
Yeah, well, Federer's won a French Open.
Yeah, no, you're right. Maybe it's like 16 or 17. It's
yeah,
still like
regardless,
a staggering
he's dominating
number.
It. Regardless.
It's a staggering number.
Yeah.
That was his 7th.
Yeah. That's a record.
7th French Open. Yeah, the record. 7th French Open title.
Yeah, he's a baller.
Really nice. Yeah, he is a baller. Good dude. Good
yeah.
guy. Friend of the podcast. Oh,
why not? Why not?
Rafa.
You might as well be.
Rafa, we got an email from him the other day. Actually, I texted him and told him good luck.
R. Nadal.
For the final. R. Nadal. we'll see if we can get him on.
SPA?
Richard, can we get Rafa on for the next show? Can we? Do you think we can get him on to talk about the French team? Oh, best jerseys.
Spanish team?
Give me your best jersey. Spanish team. Spanish team. I apologize. We were talking about the French Open. I just got confused.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Best jerseys so far. Your favorite jerseys. Has to be a Nike, doesn't it? Don't say England's. Don't say England's.
No, I'm
I'll
not.
Kill you.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
I like England's, but they haven't.
Well, you like them for what they are.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm going to maybe steal your... Well, maybe I won't steal your thunder, but I really liked the French.
Yeah. No, you did. Thunder stolen.
I'm sorry. But Portugal's whites, when they wear those, are
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, you're right. They look good.
With the cross.
And Portugal's other jerseys look good, too.
I think
Portugal has a great kit. Great set of kits.
Because I'm normally anti-red and green, but Portugal does it.
The it burgundy looks like, the burgundy.
Yeah, it's the burgundy kind of makes it
yeah.
better. Because normally it's like Christmas.
They perfected that, too. They kind of went through, like, a cycle of, like, picking different, like, Pantone colors, like, inching closer and closer to that burgundy, and when they hit it, it was on, and then
yeah.
they just stuck with it. They've done a great job.
No, Portugal looks good, but I am looking forward to seeing them wearing that white.
Yep.
Worst jersey. How about that?
Oh, Russia?
Croatia?
I like their socks. Russia with the ribbon across the front?
Yeah, it's not great.
It's not great. It's definitely not great.
There hasn't been any, like, standout horrible jerseys, though.
I feel like I've seen one, but I don't remember. I can't recall it right now.
Croatia was my least favorite.
Maybe, what are the Czechs wearing these days? I guess they've got Adidas jerseys, right? I don't know.
I don't know. Anyways, thank you guys for listening. Stay tuned. We will be back on next week, we promise.